Let me say good afternoon to everyone. I want to thank everyone for your presence here on this conference call to worship with us in spirit and in truth. I want to first give thanks to all the brothers that participated thus far in this worship service. Thank you for your diligence and your desire to serve in worshiping the great God of heaven. We find in Acts 2:42 and Acts 2:47 that there are five acts of worship. The Bible tells us that they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, which is teaching from the Word of God, and fellowship, which is sharing with the Lord that which what the Lord has blessed us with, and the breaking of bread, communion we've done this afternoon also, and in prayer. And then Luke wrote in verse 47 of Acts chapter 2, praising God. We sung this afternoon, and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So we hope that if you're on the call this afternoon and you're not a member of the one church you can read about in the Bible, of the Church of Christ, Romans chapter 16 and the verses number 16, then our hope is that at the close of the message, I will share with you specifically what God has commanded that one must do to become a child of God. No one is a child of God until they have rendered obedience to God and been born again spiritually. And it's my responsibility as a gospel preacher to share with you what God has in his word that one must do, the obedience that one must show. On this afternoon, I want to speak from the Word of God and looking at, thank the reader for this afternoon, we want to look at, on this afternoon, now the just shall live by faith. And again, as I've shared with the congregation, generally I try to have the afternoon message connect with the morning message. For those that are members of Highland Heights, you were with us this morning, spoke from 1 Timothy chapter 6, and fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. So this afternoon we want to speak now the just shall live by faith. Let us see what the process is, what the steps are that the Lord has given us through the Hebrew writer, those steps that the Hebrew writer says that the just shall live by faith. In Hebrews chapter 10, we'll pick up at verse number 35. The Hebrew writer says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. The word cast away means to lay aside or to throw away. So the Hebrew writer says, don't throw away your confidence. Why? Because he said it has great, the word recompense means payment. He says, because it has great payment of reward. So he says here that confidence is that feeling or the feeling or belief that something will happen. Yeah, he said, don't throw that away. Don't throw it away. Don't lay it aside. You keep confidence. Why? Because he said it has a great reward, recompense of reward. And so step number one, we must never put down our trust in what God can do. Never put down your trust in what God can do, because the Hebrew writer says it has great recompense, a great payment of reward. Now, when Paul shared this with Ephesians chapter 6 and the verse number 16, I want you to be able to see what Paul uses here, a metaphor here, in Ephesians 6 and the verse is number 16. Note what Paul said to the Ephesian Christian. He said, above all, Ephesians 6:16, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now here, Paul used the word of faith used the word shield as a metaphor for faith. And so what he was teaching them, they were familiar with the military and those individuals, as he told them to put on the whole armor of God. And so part of that, he says that taking the shield of faith. We must never put down our shield in battle. That is a cowardly act. I never put down my shield. I've read earlier this week where it says when they sent soldiers out, they would tell them either return with your shield or be brought back on your shield. But you never give up your shield. So for the Christian, we never put down that I don't trust God. No matter what happens, I'm going to trust God. Yeah. Turn your Bible to the Old Testament and Daniel. Go to Daniel chapter number 3. Daniel chapter number 3. You know you got what they call it the major prophets and the minor prophets. And the reason they simply say that was simply because what they referred to as a major prophet was simply because their books was longer or bigger. So they were called major, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. And then you also have Daniel and Daniel chapter 3 and looking at verse number 17. Because the Bible teaches us that Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar in verse number 16, the Bible says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Then he says, if it be so, or if it be that way, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. That's the spirit of Hebrews 10:35. They didn't cast away their confidence in God. And they made known to the king that we serve a king. As we said this morning, he is the king over the kings. And they told him, we know that the God we serve is able to deliver us from this burning fiery furnace. Yeah. And so we know that when they were thrown in the fire, we find as we read over when they were cast into the fire. And maybe help us in verse number 22. The Bible says, therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said to the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Church, we have to remember that whatever we're going through, I said this morning, that God is watching the Christian. The eyes of the Lord over the righteous, 1 Peter 3:12. God can intervene in any of our situations. That's why we never put down our trust in what God can do. These three men, they had their trust in God. They knew that God was able to do what he did. And so that's how we have to be as we talk about that. And also, when we talk about that, trust can sometimes do away with one's anxiety. You know, sometimes we have appointments, doctor's appointments, or we have tests that we got to do. We have different things that we talked about this morning, what those struggles may be, something hard to do, something difficult to deal with, something that we have to try to achieve. But we understand sometimes when I have trust in God, my anxiety level may not be to the level it can be when I don't have trust in God. And sometimes, because of my trust in God, it can give the Christian the peace of mind that we all desire to have. Yeah, that comes from trust in God. That's verse number 35. And then we find in verse 36, the Hebrew writer said, you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So we find, as we said this morning, patience is the ability to deal with or accept something that may be unpleasant. We have to endure those things. You know, in Romans chapter 5, Paul, in writing to the Romans, gave them a process of how situations happen. In verse Romans 5 and 3, he said, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation. Those are trials of things that you're going through. Yeah, troubles that you're experiencing. He said, also, knowing that tribulation worketh, watch this, patience, and patience, experience, and experience, hope. So when we go through stuff, and Paul said to the Romans that we have patience, we're able to deal with it. What we come out of that with, now we got proof. We got proof that we can deal with something. And when we have proof, now that proof gives us hope. It gives us hope. And so the Hebrew writer says, you need to have patience. But after you've gone through what you've gone through, he says, you might receive the promise. So, step number two, We must be able to endure or put up with whatever you are experiencing. Yes, we have to learn to do that. Because when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, he shared something with those Corinthians that can bless us. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, Paul wrote, "There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." In other words, what you are going through, others have experienced that also. I'm not alone. It's common. He said, but God is faithful, who would not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. So we have to be able to endure that. And then verse 37 says, "For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come." Now he was talking about their, referring to their present conditions, not the second judgment. He was saying, "For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not delay." And so he was letting them know that God is always on time. Always on time. And then the third step is found in verse number 38, which is our title on this afternoon. "Now the just shall live by faith." We talked about faith this morning, what faith is. And faith is a strong belief based upon hearing the word of God. So the Hebrew writer says, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back," he says, "my soul shall have no pleasure in him." And so the Hebrew writer was saying, let your faith be strong in Christ, giving glory to God Almighty. The word "draw back" means to shrink back or to draw up. You know, as Jesus once said, "O ye of little faith," when your faith draw up is little. And the Hebrew writer said that God said that if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. And then he said, verse 39, "But we," he included himself, the Hebrew writer, "but we are not of them which, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition or destruction." He says, "but of them that believe to the saving of your soul." Your faith in God can save your soul. "Now the just shall live by faith." We are to carry that shield of faith. You know, as anyone that are familiar with watching those soldiers of old, that shield was to protect their entire body. So faith is to protect you in any situation, any circumstance, Anything you find yourself in, your faith is your protection. If you throw away your shield, you have no protection. When I put down my faith, I have no protection. Again, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So in going through trials, let me encourage us that while I'm going through trials and tribulation, I still want to be faithful to God if I am able. If I am providentially hindered from serving or worshiping God, God knows that. I don't have to report to God. God already knows my situation and circumstance. And he knows what I can deal with. And so what I want to encourage us that even while we're going through things, stuff, I want to still be faithful. We talked about this morning, a man of faith, a woman of faith, from the earlier message morning in Paul's letter to Timothy when he called him, oh, man of God. I am a child of God or a man or woman of God when I am serving and I am faithful to God. And so, as I close, the just shall live by faith. Never throw away your trust in God and what God is able to do. As I said this morning, we walk by faith and not by sight. Paul let the Corinthians know that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. As a Christian, I don't base my situation and circumstances based on what I see, because I live by faith in God. If you're with us here this afternoon, you're not a Christian. Your faith must be in God to the point that you want to be obedient to God. And that obedience begins, I'm in Romans chapter 1. We'll use a Roman letter to show us how one become a child of God, how one shows faith in God and become a Christian. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 15, Paul to the Romans said, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So the gospel of Christ is three facts. That Christ, it was good news, that Christ died for your sins. Christ was buried in a tomb. He rose again the third day. You must believe that. That's why he said it is the power of God unto salvation. It can save you from your past sin to everyone that believes it. It went to the Jews first, but then also to the Greeks. And then in Romans chapter number 2, not only must you hear the gospel, believe it, but in Romans chapter number 2, in verse number 4, Paul reminding them of how God is. He said, I despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. So one must not only hear the gospel, one must believe the gospel, one must repent of their sins. Because Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 shares with us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then in Romans chapter 5, Paul shares with them how much God loved them when he said in Romans 5 and 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. And then he said with them, but God commended it his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for those of us. And we all were sinners, according to Romans 3:23. And so now, Christ, having died for us on the cross, he suffered for us, then we must respond with obedience. And Paul shared with them in Romans chapter 6 what that obedience looked like when he said in Romans 6 and 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Right now, you are still in your sin. And then Paul said, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So you have to die to your sin. How do I die to my sin, Brother Stroud? You heard the gospel, you believe it, you repent of your sin. Then verses 3 and 4, the Bible says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So one has to be buried with Christ by faith, and the blood of Christ cleanses you from all your past sins. And the thing one must do before they are baptized, we find in Acts 8:37, you must make the confession of what you believe in your heart, that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's how one becomes a Christian. If anyone is subject to the invitation, you can get with the person that invited you on the call and let them know you want to respond to the gospel message. I thank you very much for your listening here on this afternoon. I now turn you back over to our song leader to offer up a song of invitation. Thank you very much.